This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Back here on a Thursday, good morning and welcome. We have a lot to get to here today. There was a special board meeting last night with District 61. Beth Nolan joins us this morning. First of all, good morning and how are you?
Good morning, Brian. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. All right. Tell me what the purpose of the meeting was last night.
Well, it was a special work session to discuss the progress of the BOLD facility plan. We are coming to the close of that with all of our buildings that we've been renovating and building coming online to see students in August. And we've been, in the last 6 weeks or so, been made aware by administration that we are running into a couple of hiccups. And we thought it was important that in order to solve some of these problems, it's going to require some maneuvering, and it was time to alert the public of what was going on and have the board be able to sit around the table with administration and ask some questions.
Okay, and from what I understand, some of this is about capacity issues at some of the elementary schools?
Correct. So, you know, if we rewound the clock in the start of this project about 3 years ago, when we first came on the board and Dr. Frigo first arrived, we knew we had some facility challenges, especially in the elementaries. We had too many buildings. We had nurses and social workers who were being split between buildings, and we knew that that was not good for our students. Nothing was air-conditioned, or very few of the buildings were air-conditioned. And so we had some overall goals that we wanted to accomplish. In conjunction with, we knew we had programs like Montessori, Dennis Lab School, Johns Hill, that were at capacity with long waiting lists, and programs that were being delivered, like music, art, in the hallway. And that was not good. And we knew that if we wanted to be able to attract more students to our district, we were going to have to expand the ability for people to get into those programs and reduce those waiting lists. So that was kind of the genesis of all of this. And we enacted the BOLD facility plan, and we're well on our way with having some of those buildings come online the last couple of years. But what remains for this August are the consolidation of Parsons and Stevenson, Oak Grove and Franklin, and then the completion of Johns Hill. And as we're starting to look at the projected enrollment numbers for next year and where those students actually live, we're realizing we're short classrooms at Parsons, and we're really having to make some makeshift accommodations at Franklin to be able to accommodate the students that are in those boundaries.
Okay, talk to me a little bit about the discussion last night and what some of the recommendations were.
So the recommendations from administration was to modify the boundary. So in conjunction with this, we had originally planned to merge Muffley and Baum as a dual campus and have one boundary to accommodate both of those schools, with half the school building, for example, perhaps like K through third grade in one building, fourth through sixth in another. It was very clear from those communities, both the staff and the people living in those boundaries, that that was not really something they wanted to do. They wanted to keep those buildings as individual standalone buildings. And we would have to come back in to accommodate dividing that boundary back up. And as part of that, we're going to carve off a couple of neighborhoods, have them attend BOM as opposed to going to Parsons. That was the recommendation from administration. There are four essential skills and life skills classrooms, which are the high-needs special education programs that we deliver currently at Parsons. And the recommendation is from administration is to move those four classrooms out of that building, have two of them go to BOM, and have two of them go to the Montessori program. And when that happens, it frees up four classrooms that can accommodate the remaining boundary that is currently the Parsons-Stevenson boundary.
All right. And did you take any action on that, or were these just discussions at this point?
No, these were just discussions. And, you know, we asked a lot of questions. First of all, how did we get here? Because, you know, we had this demographic study done that projected what enrollment is. We're actually below what was being projected, and yet we're still short classrooms. How did that math work out? How is it that we're going to be able to accommodate growing our school district and gaining market share if we don't have any classrooms? Because one thing became very clear is there is no vacancy in DPS after this is done. In fact, two of those life skills classrooms that would be moved out of Parsons to Montessori would be a one-year temporary fix. And then we don't know where we would be able to put them because we would be out of classrooms across the district. And that became very unsettling for our board, that we would be moving some of the most fragile population of our students, and not just moving them once, but moving them twice.
And what were the answers from the administration to those questions?
Well, we didn't get a lot of answers beyond the how do we make this work for August. Some of the things that they said that they are going to be looking at for a more of a long-term solution is moving the sixth graders across the district in the elementaries to Stephen Decatur. That was an idea that was floated several years ago that we tabled. But I think at this point in time, it needs to be back on the table, especially as enrollment at Stephen Decatur has declined, as we have expanded the enrollment at the K-8 buildings. So we're back to Stephen Decatur now being an underutilized facility. We definitely will have room there. They have not done the intricacies of the math to be able to figure out if Stephen Decatur could accommodate this and what that would entail. So that was one of the charges that we gave them last night, like, go investigate this and see what this looks like. Perhaps not for a fix for August, but we need to understand, is this a long-term solution? But there were not a lot of good answers about the long-term fix of this. We have a problem. We're short classrooms.
All right. So what happens next, Beth?
We have given them a charge to go back. I mean, some of these solutions would be that we would keep maybe one of these elementary buildings that we were anticipating closing back online, as, you know, there was something floated last night about maybe there becomes a sixth grade attendance center, that maybe the Parsons-Stevenson split, we have overflow at the old Stevenson, and we would go back in, we would air condition that building and make it up to snuff, but that there would be overflow there. And, you know, the biggest conundrum for me that I have a problem with is if there's no room at the end today, and we know we have lost students because of this pandemic that I hope return to our district for whatever reason. They went to private school because they wanted in person, or they just fell off the radar screen because they're just kind of lost in the wind. Those students are going to come back. And if they come back as a surprise in August, the district is going to be scrambling once again because there are no rooms to be able to accommodate them.
How much parental involvement, how much staff involvement, do you get a sense of where the disconnect is?
The disconnect in terms of the enrollment numbers?
Just the I don't want to be critical here. I mean, what seems to be... you said math, and I feel like so much of this is math. Where is the disconnect in a multi-year plan? And clearly no one could plan for a pandemic and the unique problems that
has... But this is not about the pandemic. I mean, we had a demographer's report where we knew what the total number of students was going to be, and they've been pretty much right on the money. In fact, we're under what their projections were. So if we actually had the 300 students that they were projecting that we would have had this year, we would really be in trouble. So I don't have a good answer for this. And there's a mobility problem within our district. So within the boundaries of the different schools, we certainly see movement. One of the suggestions last night was, or one of the assertions last night from the administration was that there was just an influx of people who moved north into that Stevenson-Parsons boundary, which is really the school that is causing us the most problem. We've been told all along that this first year before all the dust settles out was going to be tight. Now, I can understand tight. What I can't understand is we're short four classrooms, because that's not just tight. This is not a function of we've seen 300 kids move into the district that we weren't expecting.
All right, so what are the next steps? Clearly, you've tasked the administration to come back with some solutions. Give me the
Correct.
Timeline. You know, how will this play out over the next few weeks?
Well, I mean, we have to make decisions about what buildings are going to be closed by the end of February. So we know that that's the case. The magnet lottery closes at the end of January, so we will know, you know, which kids from an enrollment perspective, which students are placed inside Johns Hill that will be placed inside American Dreamers and Montessori. So we'll have a little bit of a better idea of where students shake out from in the boundaries that give us a more defined idea of who is going to be going to the neighborhood schools, and we'll take it from there.
All right, Beth, we appreciate it. Best of luck to you. Keep us updated, and we thank you for calling in today. Beth Nolan from the DPS 61 Board of Education.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.